What if the person keeping you trapped isn't the one who hurt you, but you? We carry resentments like invisible chains, replaying old wounds until they become our identity. A mother in a nursing home spends 3 decades reliving her husband's betrayal, poisoning every conversation with bitterness. An Olympic athlete loses her shot at gold because she can't stop thinking about a friend's betrayal. A successful teacher drowns in self-loathing despite winning awards. These aren't isolated stories. They're mirrors reflecting how resentment quietly devours our lives. But here's the paradox. Gratitude, the very thing that seems impossible when we're hurting, might be the only key that unlocks these chains. Resentment hides behind shame, whispering that we're weak for feeling hurt or foolish for expecting better. We get trapped in the sticky web, simultaneously feeling grateful to someone while harboring deep pain toward them. Think of Jeremy dreading visits to his mother because every conversation circles back to her decades-old bitterness. Her resentment poisoned not just her own life, but everyone around her. The word resentment comes from Old French, ressentir, to re-experience a strong feeling. We literally relive our pain, chewing over memories until their bitterness becomes strangely satisfying. When we can't confront someone directly, injustice lodges itself as resentment. We tell ourselves we've forgiven, but never forgotten, not realizing we're still imprisoned while those who wronged us have moved on. As Nelson Mandela observed, resentment is like drinking poison and hoping it kills your enemies. Gratitude and resentment are mirror opposites. We cannot genuinely feel both toward the same person simultaneously. Our resentments reveal what truly matters to us, illuminating the values we hold most dear. Most resentment springs from shattered expectations. Jocelyn, an Olympic athlete, carried such intense resentment toward a former friend who spread malicious rumors that it consumed her focus during the finals. She won silver, but believed her resentment cost her the gold. We form expectations without including the other person, projecting what we want and assuming agreement. When reality doesn't match our mental script, something fundamental breaks in our moral framework. Wisdom lies in holding high standards without attachment to outcomes. Gratitude helps us accept what is, focusing on what we have rather than what we lack. It reminds us of the good in relationships, making us less likely to discard people when disappointed. Cultivating compassion means maintaining genuine connection with others, valuing them as ends in themselves rather than means to our goals. When we truly see someone's humanity, including their frailties and vulnerabilities, we can better withstand disappointment. Understanding that underneath annoying behavior lies a frustrated person crying out for compassion softens the sharp edges of broken expectations. Some resentments attack our very identity. Madeline, nearing retirement after a distinguished HR career, was suddenly marginalized by new leadership. Despite her qualifications and national reputation, she was excluded from meetings, bypassed for roles, and socially isolated. Realizing she was being pushed out because of her age created profound resentment and self-doubt. This pattern appears everywhere: prejudice, sibling favoritism, romantic betrayal, or rejection. Madeline found salvation through bi-weekly meetings with regional facilitators who genuinely valued her contributions. Their appreciation, offering tea, baking cakes, thanking her for traveling, provided psychological safety, contrasting sharply with her main office's competitive contempt. The French word reconnaissance captures this beautifully. Humans fundamentally long to be recognized because it fulfills our need for identity and belonging. Crucially, we cannot give this recognition to ourselves. It must come from others. Deep gratitude is inherently relational. We need connection to express it sincerely. When we feel diminished, processing this shock requires selecting a trusted friend who offers attentive listening without trying to solve our problems, someone who validates our pain and helps us feel less isolated. Viktor Frankl, surviving Nazi concentration camps, discovered that even in horrific circumstances, we retain the last of human freedoms, choosing our attitude. This applies to choosing between resentment and gratitude, though resentment often blinds us to this possibility. Gratitude isn't mastered once. It requires constant practice and vigilance, especially during physical or mental pain when our strength diminishes. To choose gratitude over resentment, we must make it part of our inner attitude, the core perspective through which we orient ourselves. Consider Shelley, a principal who dreaded family gatherings due to resentment toward her favored younger brother. Before his wedding, she practiced a state of preparedness, consciously focusing on gratitude during evening walks. She recalled how sibling rivalry developed her empathy, then remembered good times with her brother and parents. The wedding went better than imagined. Her gratitude helped her feel calm and centered. Remarkably, when we prepare our inner attitude with gratitude, others sense this energy before any interaction. The vibrations of our inner attitude influence those around us, creating ripple effects we might never fully understand. Andrew, an award-winning teacher, battles severe self-resentment despite external success. Having dropped out of school early, he developed a core belief of unworthiness that persists despite later achievements. He overworks himself creating perfect lessons and obsesses over mistakes, suffering from imposter syndrome and chronic anxiety. Self-resentment often runs deeper than resentment toward others, frequently rooted in childhood and diminishing self-regard. Andrew's perfectionism caused burnout and declining health. His all-or-nothing thinking, perfection or failure, made him quit when perfection proved impossible. The Japanese philosophy of wabi-sabi offers an alternative, celebrating imperfection as beautiful and authentic. Rather than hiding flaws, we can acknowledge them as part of what makes us unique. The solution isn't lowering expectations, but maintaining high standards while developing self-awareness that prevents disappointment when we fall short. Self-gratitude means developing compassion for ourselves while appreciating our inherent worth. Rather than fixating on unattained targets, we can orient ourselves to the starting point and express gratitude for what we've achieved. When Andrew's student Jared wrote him a gratitude letter, what he once would have dismissed became an anchor of hope that exponentially increased his self-gratitude. Self-gratitude enables us to establish clearer boundaries and make decisions honoring our integrity and well-being. In a fractured world where resentment spreads through families, workplaces, and communities, we face a choice: continue drinking the poison of resentment or practice the radical act of gratitude, not as denial of pain, but as a path through it. This isn't forced positivity. It's recognizing that resentment gives us the illusion of power while actually rendering us powerless, whereas genuine, practiced gratitude returns agency to our hands. Start small. Choose one relationship, one practice, one moment. Build self-gratitude first, creating the foundation from which you can extend gratitude outward. Notice where resentment lives in your body, your thoughts, your daily interactions. Then, with patience and persistence, begin cultivating the inner attitude that transforms not just how you see others, but how you experience your own life. Untangling yourself from resentment isn't just about improving relationships. It's about reclaiming your freedom, your peace, and your capacity for joy. The chains were always yours to unlock.